I call it the preaching of the gospel. And all this thing came out of what I'm just saying to you now. I look back at Christianity. What people I met people doing, we are still doing it. And I look at the new covenant. I look at everything God said about Christ. If truly it is finished, then what is going on? People are still doing it. We still believe. Oh, it's amazing. So I begin to say, okay, fine, that's growth. You know, and recently I went through, just not long after the conference, went through some kind of funny experience in the realm of the spirit where suddenly I just was distressed in my heart. I was distressed because a couple of days after the conference, the distress was so great, so much that there was a war, battle, real in the realm of spirit, it won't lift and everything. And you know something, and that's another secret. When you fight a war and you feel that it's getting too tough, there's no winning. Just change it to thanksgiving and just relax. So I just thank God and look, I thank you. I changed the gear. I'm now more than conqueror through him that loved me. So I'm depending on your love for me now to conquer. So through you who loved me, I'm more than conqueror, which includes this. And instantly, so God began to tell me and say, look, go back to the book of Genesis and you have to see something in me. And that is what I want to share with us today. I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me in a very simple way, but yet that will really make sense and get us out of some realm into a higher dimension with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start with two scriptures. Number one scripture is the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Genesis 2, verse 25. Genesis 2, 25. The Lord said something there that is very, very simple concerning the experience of the man and woman, Adam and his wife, the woman, before they fell. And before they fell, the Lord says, and they were both naked. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. And they were not ashamed. Everybody say, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. To be ashamed means that you come to realization that you fall below some standard that is rightfully yours. If you fall below a standard that is rightfully where you should be, it brings shame. Or sometimes to be ashamed means that you feel guilty concerning something. So you are under a judgment and you are seeking mercy. It brings shame. Praise the Lord. So when God says that these people were naked and they were not ashamed, what that means was that they saw, they had no standard of themselves that they should have that would make them want to compare themselves to anything for them to be ashamed. Amen. They knew nothing of anything about themselves. Listen to me. You get me? There are things we know about ourselves now, depending on your upbringing, your education, that has put you in a place that to you, if you fall below it, it becomes shame. There are some people, if they can be in the level that if you fall below, you become shame. To some people, it's not shame to them. Praise the Lord. It depends on your upbringing and education and your IQ. Are we understanding me? It depends on that. Somebody to just be walking in secular might be shameful. Somebody like Bill Gates suddenly begins to say, I beg to apply, to him it will be shameful. But do you know more than half of the population are doing it and they are not ashamed? Why? Because they have not experienced a level that he has. So we don't even know what it means, so it doesn't bother. But to him, he has reached one level that he has come to a knowledge of a level of life that if he falls below, it becomes shame. Though it's not shame to us. Amen. Now, for somebody to be in a place whereby he's not ashamed at all means there is no level he knows about himself at all. If you tell him, who are you? What level should you be? He will say, I don't know. He, just like children, if you ask them, they don't know. You get me? Why is that? The reason is because God, listen, God did not give that man the ability to know anything. God withheld from him the ability to know good and evil. God said, Adam, don't know good and evil. Don't partake of the tree of good and evil at all. So that you don't even know good. Because he doesn't know good, he doesn't know evil, then he does not have any knowledge of himself. If Adam is going to know anything at all, it must come from God. Are you understanding me? So because everything that Adam knew then was coming from God, it was God's standard that was his standard. So he was a stranger to everything on earth. It was so real that he couldn't find a companion even among the earth. So there's nothing on this earth that can ever make him ashamed. Are you getting me? He's above them all. I mean, he's... I'll give a good example. Who told Adam the name of the animals? He just named them, and whatever he said was exactly in the mind of God. Why? Because his knowledge was coming directly from God. We were originally fashioned to have no knowledge except what God has. And you know, the knowledge of God was what formed the heavens and the earth. It was a higher form of level. So when God was telling Adam, don't partake of any knowledge, he wasn't asking him to be a dundee. He was actually telling him, I have given you the knowledge above every knowledge, which everything God knows, Adam knew it. Even to the point that when he was sleeping, God did not tell him that he's going to call the woman woman. The moment he woke up, he said, she shall be called woman. Do we understand? Then the highest form of knowledge, but yet a knowledge so high that he knows nothing about himself at all. If God does not say anything in heaven, Adam will know nothing to do. He will just be like a zombie. Praise the Lord. So they were not ashamed. If you tell him where you are naked is bad, he will say, really, what is even bad? How did you know it is wrong? To Adam, he doesn't have any definition of evil. If you tell him, what is evil? I don't know. If you tell him that thing is good, Adam will say, how did you know it's good? What is good? What do you mean, Adam, you don't know good? I don't know good. I don't even know what the word means. I don't even have the vocabulary. If a man had not fallen, good and evil would not have been in the vocabulary and even sense at all. What do you know, Adam? Only what is in his mind. It just comes directly to me. If he stops talking, I'm empty. But thank him, he's always talking. So his knowledge is always flooding my mind. So what he knows, I know. Adam already knew all of us. He was one man, but he knew everybody that was in his loins, even without them appearing. Praise the Lord. How powerful he was. Praise the Lord. But look at what happened after the fall. Three. Genesis chapter 3. I'll read from verse 7 because I know that we know the story, don't we? Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew. They didn't know that before. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I was afraid because I was naked. And they were both naked, man as well, and were not ashamed. But now, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, Who told you you were naked? Who told you? That means you this kind of knowledge, Adam, should not have ever come into you. How did you know? You know that God did not expect him to even know that he's naked. God never expected him to know his nakedness. God, it was not supposed to be something that came to his knowledge. Praise the Lord. That is why, and when we are looking at singles and marriage, we'll be looking more into this. That the way God made singles to be is that you are just innocent, you are going. But if we are not falling, what will happen is that nobody will desire any opposite sex at all. The only time you desire any opposite sex is the time that God has programmed you to get married. And then your heart will be drawn to that exact woman. Amen. That, and your eyes will only be opened to her nakedness, and her eyes will be opened to the man's nakedness. And the attraction will begin to work through them. And that, and God will do it because God knows a man and a woman that should come together every generation at every time to fulfill his will at every generation. So when they reach a certain age where God has said, now it's ready to get married, then God will open this eye to see that eye, and they will see through the glory into their own self, and then attraction. And that it's not that I'm praying for the way, they will just not say, hey, you know what, God, we can now see. We are married. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Without sin. Amen. Are you getting me? And the moment they are married, they will be open to themselves and be blinded to every other opposite sex. Never desiring anybody. Only that person. Praise the Lord. That's why Satan will always want everything. That now that man's eyes is open, women should be exposing themselves, for even men who are not married to them, to always see their nakedness and keep desiring them. That's why covering is a powerful language in the realm of the spirit. I don't care what people say, latest or new latest. You can keep wearing your tight thing that exposes your pant lines and everything. But the kingdom will be taken by people who have really come to a brokenness and come to a deep revelation of everything that God says about body, soul, and spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the same goes for marriage people as well. That is God's agenda, and he has never changed it. Praise the Lord. That's why God said to men, say, men, you keep praying, lift up your holy hands. But say, women, make sure you don't put your attention on your outward appearance. Don't go all for this fashionable latest thing, because God knows that Satan will use women to keep weakening the men. There's nowhere God, in the New Testament, God said women are the ones to pray. But women are the ones praying in the church now. And men are the ones not praying. Women are no longer covering themselves or exposing, and they yet pray. Yet intercessor, but will never cover themselves. And the New Testament says that a woman should cover herself, and put, because her beauty is in the inner quiet and incorruptible spirit. That's where the beauty of a woman. So when a woman depends on her outward thing for her beauty, it's like depending on death to make you good. It's like depending on incorruption to determine what your incorruptible person is. It's an insult to God. When a woman says, because I'm too fat, I'm nobody. Or because until I expose my pant lines and wear all these exposure wears, I don't feel good. Amen. And there are prophetesses everywhere. I will say it everywhere. Exposing themselves, prophesying right, doing everything right. But you watch when down the line, the enemy hit them. At the peak, is always there. Something happens somewhere. Something happens. Praise God. I don't know why I go into this line, but I'm telling you, and I keep telling it. Covering is a language, but not a law. We don't make it a law, but it is a language in the spirit. So we have to get it by revelation. Amen. It is not about what you wear, what you don't wear, but yet it is still a covering, because Paul said, though that is the case, but yet a woman, your outward appearance matters. Praise the Lord. And for the man, make sure you lift up holy hands everywhere and be a prayerful person. Are men prayerful? No. So there are things men should do. There are things women should do. Amen. Women are fighting for authority in the job, authority in the spiritual realm. Men have authority by the spiritual realm. And we do that in prayer when we stand before God. And as men declare in the spirit that not over this community, not over this church, we put a blood around this church and put a seal around. Amen. That's what men should be doing. The men are busy working. Boycotting their assignment in prayer to serve their wives, sorry to say, to serve their jobs, to serve the things that God has given to them as a gift, are not serving Christ. And women will expose themselves and do a ministry that God hasn't given them to lead. Not that women can't lead prayer or do prayer, but I'm talking about in a church setting now. Everybody say, let order be restored. I don't know why I went into that, but let's take it from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it will come gradually, because the Holy Spirit is working in the church. The church is like a babe that is growing again. And so we will get there. But while we are journeying, God is saying, let's be long-suffering to one another. Let's be patient. God is patient with us, so we have to be patient with ourselves. They were ashamed. They hid themselves from God. Let me tell you this. What made them hid themselves from God? What is it? It wasn't God. Did God not know that this man has eaten the fruit? Did he not know that Adam has eaten it? God knew. Let me tell you this. Before Adam knew he would eat it, God knew that Adam is going to eat it and he will fall. Romans told us, Romans 5 verse 14 told us that Adam, God already knew. And God already did something about it before he fell. God knew that he will fall. That is why you see that God started by saying, let us make man. Let it be man, man, man. But as soon as God got to Genesis 2 verse 19, God said Adam. God didn't call him man from that time, because God put him as a type. And Bible says Adam is a type of Christ. In other words, instead of God calling him, and God knew he would fall, God typified him. So man became like cars. Adam became like Volvo. So there's room for another type to come. If he had maintained cars, there might not have been another room. But put him as, so cars, you can have different cars. Volvo, Toyota, amen. And since it typified him, there was room for another type to come. So God knew. But what I'm saying is that, let us look on air. If somebody does and you already know, what will be your action? You become thinking, don't even bother hiding. Out, come, I know what you have done. Is that not what we will do? But God knew. But yet, God was saying, Adam, where are you? God, you know what was happening to God? Even though sin was there, but God is so holy. God is so righteous. God is so merciful. His nature is too strong than the nature of Satan. Because that sin was a nature of Satan release. But his own nature himself is too strong to be seen more than that which came from the enemy. So when God was going into the garden, he was searching for what was of him. Even though he knew sin was there, but he knew himself more than sin. The knowledge of who he is was stronger than what you can call sin in anything. I don't know. Are you understanding me? The knowledge of who we are is too small. We know the world more than even we. Are you getting me? Bible says we are born again. The world does not know us. The reason why the world does not know us is because the world does not know God. So until the world know God, they can't know us. And until you know God, you can't know yourself. And if you don't know God, you know something else. It's you and the world, because the world formed your mind. Amen. And if the world, they are judging themselves, you'll be judging yourself, you'll be judging other people in the church. You will depend on what is done outwardly to justify spiritual things. And it will look spiritual. It will look like we have zeal for God. Only the eternal God, eternity will let us know that it was not done in the spirit, by the spirit, but by the flesh. Praise the Lord. The knowledge of who he is was too strong. He was looking for that which was his. Because at that time, Adam's spirit was already dead. And God said, where are you? Even though he knew sin was there. But at the same time, he knows that the solution to deal with sin is in the hand of Adam. He knows that Adam knows what God knows. Adam knew that God can do something about it. But he has a stand. You get me? And God was coming and said, where are you, Adam? And while God was looking for him, he was hiding himself. What was making him hide himself? It was because he has come to a knowledge of him now. Before, he didn't have any standard for himself. Now, he has had a knowledge of something of himself that makes him feel, now that I know this of myself, he now looked at God and see that I'm falling below the standard of God that I was made to be. He was made and formerly in the image of God. Now he's come down and he was ashamed. And he said, I was afraid and I hid myself. Since that day, it was a nature that came upon man. Every man hides himself from God. God is not hiding himself from every man. Since that day, God began to look for man. To the point that it got so bad that it got to a point God had to, still looking for man, came in the form of Jesus Christ to look for that which was lost. And Jesus said, he's still looking for that which was lost. And he came and seek us through his own sacrifice. Praise the Lord. I'll give another good thing. For you to know that God is serious about it, you know what God did? For man to know that God's focus is for us more than anything else is this. You see, Adam, after the fall of man, listen to this. Sin moved. I want you to look at me. Can everybody look up, please? Sin moved. You know, like a graph. It moved from here. It kept graduating. Then it got to a peak. When it got to a peak in man's history, God stopped speaking for 400 years. That was between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. Praise the Lord. You see, before Jesus came, sin was at its peak. There is no history, and there will be no time in history of the world where people's sin was so much in the world as in that time. Everything can cause sin that has not even been seen happened. Between Malachi and Matthew, God stopped speaking. There was no prophet. There was no word from God. There was nothing. Praise the Lord. And God allowed sin to be at his peak. So when sin was at his peak, that was when Jesus came. To show us that if he can come looking for us at the peak of sin, there is no generation before or after that can say that God is not looking for them. If God can come at the darkest hour, still look at that. Number two, that should tell you how zealous God is for man. Number three, that should tell you how much God is blinded to sin. Not that he compromises it, but blind to sin. His problem is that he doesn't see, but is looking for where we are. He didn't say, because of your sin, I have left you. He didn't say that. Amen. He said, your sin has made a bridge, a difference. Hallelujah. And so he's coming, looking. And so for God to come at the fullness of that time, should show us how much. So now that he has come, praise God, Now that he has come, what did he come to do? He came, first of all, to destroy that part of us that is always feeling we have to go away from him. If it was you, what would you first get rid of? You first get rid of that part that is actually trying to draw men away from yourself. Amen. And that part is called iniquity. That side of us is called, that is what the Bible called the prince of the power of the air who walks in the sons of disobedience. It keeps people away. And Satan does it with the instrument of judgment and condemnation. Praise the Lord. You could see the next thing that happened with this man. Immediately that he sinned, the next thing, God has not even asked him anything. He just said it. He said, it is this woman. He never did it before. The first time said, this flesh of my flesh, blood of my bone. The next said, it is this woman that you gave me. In other words, I am guilty, but I don't deserve punishment. She deserves it. I should be free. Are you getting me? And I can see the woman looking at, you know, women, but look at it from head to toe and say, wait till God goes. That is where the problem between men and women starts. I'm telling you, I can see Eve doing that. Okay. Yes, yes, Lord, it is the serpent. Let him go. We'll see. It is the serpent. And after he goes, I can see, say, what did you say to God? I don't worry, my wife. You know, I can tell you, it happened there. Instantly, man began to justify himself by putting error on somebody else. Since that day, our heads became a stepstone for our exaltation. If I cannot climb over somebody, I can't go up. Since that day, the life of man began to be that it is somebody's failure that makes me look successful. It is somebody's weakness that makes me look strong. Are we understanding me? What I'm saying is that since that day, judgmentalism, all these things began to spring up. Are we understanding me? You know why? Because through Adam, judgment came upon all men. All men. Adam felt judged. And he felt, I'm not worthy to come to God. And every time Adam wants to come to God, there is something. It wasn't Adam. Something entered him that was not in him before. It is called sin. And sin is Satan personified. That's why the Bible says, brood of vipers. I have known you. You have your father, the devil, the prince of power of the air, walking in the sons of disobedience. Are we hearing me? Sin personified is Satan walking in man. And what does Satan do? Satan manifests himself through man, what he does. I'll tell you what Satan does. What is happening to Satan is this. God told Satan, when he fell, God said, you shall be cast down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. It was an eternal judgment. That word formed judgment in him. And since that day, Satan was kept forever away from God. So when Satan entered man, that same nature began to operate through a man. So it is not the man himself. It is what he has been born of. There is a force called sin. That automatic, even when he hasn't done anything wrong, the moment you mention God, Jesus, his heart was saying, hey, I'm in trouble. What have I done? He begins to, oh, it is a natural thing. All you need to say is prayer. He begins to say, prayer, I can't pray. Before I pray, I must have done something wrong. Before you mention prayer, he felt okay. But the moment the name of God entered, something in him says, unworthy, unworthy. He begins to feel, either I will not pray, or before I pray, I have to cleanse myself. Amen. It is a natural thing. And many of us are born again today and still have that mindset. You know why? Because when you go born again, it is your spirit that changed. Your mind is still the same. And sin is in the body, operating from the body to the mind. Praise the Lord. I've said all this to say something about prayer, to say something, because every time you mention prayer, worship, thanksgiving, coming to church, reading the Bible, anything that has to do with something drawing you closer to God, there is something natural that instantly raises up. You can't explain it, but that thing says, no, And if you are the stubborn type that would still want to proceed, it goes to another level. You have done that wrong. You have done this wrong. You have done that wrong. So you feel, oh, okay, let me cleanse myself. Praise the Lord. Let me get myself ready. Let me do this ready. Now I'm ready. Now God have come. Praise the Lord. Now, that is a nature that was mingled with us. It was mixed with your old man. Praise the Lord. If this was your old man, that nature was there. When that nature came, it mixed with that old man. Praise the Lord. But when Jesus came, Jesus got rid and crucified this old man with that sin nature that is in it. But our mind seems to, it's still used to living as if sin is still there. Amen. Our mind is still programmed to that former life. So even though our spirit now is justified before God, because if we were not justified, Jesus would never has been raised from the dead. Do you know why God raised Jesus from the dead? God did not raise Jesus from the dead because he did not sin. Do you know that? Listen. God did not raise Jesus from the dead because Jesus did not sin. God raised Jesus from the dead because he was satisfied that he has paid the price for all the sins of mankind. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't say, I have finished. It is finished. He didn't say, I. If he said, I have finished, it would have been. What is it that has finished? That sin nature, that Adamic man, that man that can never come to God, running, always running away. That man that never satisfied. Because the heart of God, the purpose why God created us, was that every day he can come and just say, oh, my daughter. Every day, God, I'll tell you what God wanted to do. God said, son, daughter, oh, what a wonder. How was today? Nice. Let's. Do you know what I planned yesterday? In eternity plus, I planned that this and this I should be accomplished today. And this should be your role. How do you think you should carry it out? He knows what he should do. I said, how do you think you should carry this out? And Adam will say the same thing God already determined eternity. And God said, that's what I thought. That is good. We must do this tomorrow night. And when we do it, this and this and this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. Praise the Lord. And the more Adam looks at him to discuss like that, the more the glory of God is life. Because he only had breath of life there. The glory shines on him. More life he has. He grows more. Amen. Adam feels fulfilled. God has that fellowship. And then they agree and say, we'll come together. I'm always with you, you know that? Oh, no, I know you're always with me. But I'll appear to you again tomorrow. I love you, you know. Say, so, I love you too. So I'm just like you, Father. Yeah, may I made you like that. Praise the Lord. And God goes. But his presence is still there. But he disappears. That is the reason. God never had anybody that he does that with before. Before, he was man on his own. He does anything, he does so. But God said, well, I'm just giving order in here. I want to be able to dialogue with somebody. For us to discuss on what I want to do. For him to, us to kind of partner together. Who can I do? And this man. That is the reason why we are here. Are you understanding me? I don't know. I'm trying to simplify it. So, if you are running away from him, what he wants to, if all deal with what you are, because his desire is that he wants to be with you every time. In fact, when you pray, do you know when you pray, God is so happy. Ha ha! Lisa is calling me. Amen. And soon as God get there, just ring Jesus' name. Amen. God say, God, as soon as I got here, hallelujah. Soon as I, can't you just spend a little bit more time? But why will Lisa go, she's gone? Because she must see prayer that I've confessed my sins, I've said what I want to say, I've done my daily duty, hallelujah, God should be happy now. Now he's going to bless me, so I'm satisfied, amen. It's all about self, 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 self. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? And pastor that one can look and say, my sister, Lisa, she's praying. A prayer warrior indeed. Whereas God is saying, she has to spend time much with me. But Lord, she just spent 1 hour. Oh, those hours he was using it to try and bring herself back while I've brought her to me. She's trying to bring herself back. Why? The moment she feels satisfied that she's with me, She asked what she wants and never gave me room to talk at, to dialogue. And my purpose for fellowship was dialoguing. Praise the Lord. I'm just using Salisa to get the message through. Amen. Not that Salisa doesn't pray, she prays. Don't look at her with that look. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is still there in every man. But when Christ came, Christ destroyed that part of us. Praise the Lord. It is destroyed and it is finished. But our mind still tells us, no, no, you cannot go like that. And God knows that our mind will do that. You know what God did? God made Jesus to be a high priest. So Jesus, through his intercessory ministry, is always praying for our conscience to be cleansed from dead works by his sprinkling blood. So Jesus took his blood. He didn't only shed his blood on earth. He took his blood to heaven to sprinkle it by the throne of God where the mercy seat is. Praise the Lord. So that even when we come with all this condemnation, that through his intercession, we can at least exercise faith. People don't even know that. That's what he did for the old covenant. If you look at the old covenant, the priest will shed the blood outside the door and will come and sprinkle it by the altar of incense, which is in front of the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. Now, that altar of incense is now in the Holy of Holies. That is where we are with the Lord. The children of Israel were always outside because they never were in the spirit, but we are now in the spirit there. Praise the Lord. So prayer is no longer by what I do or what I don't do. Prayer is by revelation of where I am with God. Prayer comes by me knowing that I am righteous, justified by Christ. Amen. And I don't have time because I'll show you. The Bible says that the word of God tells us that it said, having boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, not by you. Having boldness. Let us therefore come with boldness to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Why do you obtain mercy? Because God knows everybody, they will still come with all these things. But look, know that there is mercy. That's why I call it the throne of grace. Do you know the throne of grace? It was formerly called the throne of God. In the old covenant, it was called the throne of God. And when it's the throne of God, it is judgment. If anybody comes, anything is judgment. Because the throne of God is to judge anyone that doesn't keep the law. But the throne of grace is to affirm Christ Jesus. Jesus came by grace and truth. Praise the Lord. So God expects us to start welcoming, maybe by our strength, but to grow from that to the place where we are no longer conscious of ourselves like Adam, but Christ is so much in us. Amen. Why do you think Jesus is living in you? Did you see Jesus ever go to the Father and went there saying, Father, I now come, forgive thy son's sin. Instead, I say, my Father, amen. You see, that same Christ is the same one God expects to pray out through you when you come to pray. God never expects you to pray. For in the eye of God, you have been crucified and you are dead. Christ is the one alive in you. So when you become born again, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, he will do it. Because he knows that you are still walking by your mind. But he expects us to grow. He expects us to know more of the knowledge of Christ. He expects us to let Christ fill us gradually. Maybe you start in this level, Christ fills your mind, until he occupies your entire mind that you are no longer there. He is the one living. Praise the Lord. And since that day, if Christ is going to pray through you, he comes with boldness to the Father. When Christ hears prayer, he is drawn through prayer, not drawn away. Adam is drawn away from God. Christ is drawn to God. Amen. Even at Christ's hour, when the sin of man came upon him, look at Christ. The Bible says he became sin so that we can become the righteous. When did he become sin? It was on the cross. He even said, he said, I thirst, meaning the Spirit of the Lord, Father, you left me. You get me? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in the midst of sin upon him, he could still say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Still had the boldness to call God Father, even though he called him God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But yet still was able to say, Father, oh God, forgive them. Hallelujah. If that Jesus is living in you and is praying through you, then who is praying when you come to God and you feel condemned? If Jesus is living in me and you, and he loves us, and we are condemning ourselves, then who is living out of us when we condemn ourselves? It can only be Adamic mindset who condemned this wife. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding it? That is why once we are in Christ, there is no more battle, no more fighting. Because people in the world will continue to fight. You can't solve war problem in the world. And Jesus told us. Jesus said, look, as the end time comes, war will continue. Nation will rise up against nation. It is because of this nature. Because men are cut away from God, men judge themselves till today. Praise God. Look at Romans 5. Are we getting something here? Huh? Or are we tired? Somebody say yes. Sapat, you are tired. You are joking. Who said yes? The children. Don't mind them. They want to go and swing Jangrofa. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Romans 5. Are we there? Before I share this, I want to show you one illustration. There were two men. They lived in different experience. One used to assess what belongs to him by opening a door. There were two doors that lead to them. One used to assess Mr. A had riches, but Mr. B had riches that is a million times more than Mr. A. Mr. A assesses his riches by going through a rolling door. You know, rolling door where you bend down, you pull it, and then it enters. You get me? Mr. B's door is just the normal door. He will just open it, bring it, and go inside. Mr. A has lived his entire life. When he wants to open the door, he draws it, and gets in. Gets all his riches, whatever he wants, come out, and that's what he does. But one day, somebody came to have mercy on him and blessed him with this new apartment of Mr. B. And said, everything in this house belongs to you, but you have to go through this door. But because he was always drawing, rolling door here, when he got there, instead of him learning how to open this, he was looking for the handle. And he was starving behind that place. I get it. Whereas, if he had gained access to what is here, is a million times better than there. He used to walk to get something here. This place, he doesn't need to walk. He's such riches, amazingly. But how to get through was his problem. He was looking, let me call upon the owner of this house. In the name of Jesus! In the name of Jesus, I say, Lord, give me. You have promised me. And then he goes. Then many, sometimes he might even go and say, maybe because I sinned. Lord, forgive me. I've not done. And it still didn't work. Then he goes and says, hey, I know the real thing. Moses fasted 40 days. Yeah. Maybe I fasted for 40 days. Then he goes again. Would he still open? Now, read chapter 17. Verse 17. Everybody read this. Thank you, Jesus. Are we there? Let's read it. 1, 2, 4. Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone that comes by me is a real thing. Amen. There are those two doors represent those two men. Amen. The first door was the door of Adam. You have to bend down to open it. It depends on your strength. Are you understanding me? And so many people have been through that door, opening it. So the Bible says, by the offense of one man, death reigned through that one. And he says, also, if he, then he says something. He said, much more. Did you see that word, much more? He said, much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Where is abundance of grace? Grace and truth came through who? Christ, Jesus Christ. And the gift of righteousness. Who is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ. Those who receive that, they reign in what? They reign in. Do you want to reign in life? Reigning in life is when they say they reign in life, don't think of eternity. Jesus said, I've come to give them life and to give them more abundant. It is a continuous life, means eternity, means before, now, to eternity. In other words, God expects us to take our time wasted before, redeem it with life, redeem everything back, warm to present, live in the present with this life for a future great eternity. Hallelujah. Can you see that is a great tax? You live 30 years wasted, and through there's something up that you can just put your hand back, redeem it as if you have never wasted a day. Future, and do things in the future that prepares you for a glorious eternity. Jesus said, that is why he says much more. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign through one called who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that door that he always opens. What we need is to learn for by not to simply learning not to bend anymore, but to stand upright and to open the door and to go in. Are you getting me? If the holder and the key is not under, God will not, because of you, forget the cross of Christ and what Christ has paid for, and take the handle and quickly put it under and return it to a roller. God will not do. If he does that, he will be cheating Jesus Christ, his son. It is up to us to not give our heart to learn the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Prayer is good. Fasting is good. All this thing is good. But why are we doing it? That is the mistake we do. The old covenant, they do it. You know why they do it? They do it so that this door can open at least easily. God can make it open easily for them. But the new covenant, we do it to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can look at that place and just say no. And just enter. Praise the Lord. How many believe it? That's easier? Enter. Than. Praise the Lord. God is even telling me that even I'm still, you know, there are some doors you don't even have to touch. Just get there. He senses you are there and just go, get in. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Imagine somebody gets to the door that's supposed to open up and you are looking. You see, I'm using these examples because, let me tell you, I don't say things, and I'm not saying this. You know how I'm saying this. Do you know that is how God put this message in me? He put this vision of this man in me, and he said, this is my people. Look at the door, but look, they are still trying to say, this is the vision. Use this vision and teach and speak. He said, because as long as you keep doing that, you'll be blaming yourself, you'll be fighting yourselves. It's a condemnative life. It's a judgmental life. It's a satanic. It's a very wicked realm there, I'm telling you. And it can happen to us even after we are born again for good many years. Many people don't experience what we are talking about until 3 years to their death. And God will just have mercy on them to know Christ. And in 3 years, they will do things and go to build up. Many people live 50 years not even knowing anything of this. And they live like Adamic race, thinking they have done a lot for God, whereas it's all been of flesh. That's why God says, I mean, let me show you something. Read the next verse, verse 18. Verse 18. He said Romans 5, 18. Go ahead, 1, 2, 3. All men, is this all men? Go on. Free gift came to what?
Amen.
That is why we have to preach the gospel. The free gift is unto all men. The same way the judgment came on all men. Now, when judgment came on all men, can you see why people judge themselves? Can you see people why people can't forgive themselves? You can't give what you don't have. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus Christ said that in the church is called He said, in this house shall be my peace. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will build the temple. The glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. And in this place shall be peace. Praise the Lord. That's why it's called the Prince of Peace. That's why God will say, and now may the God of comfort and peace comfort your heart. He is called the God of peace. Amen. That's why we are called ministers of reconciliation. Because we have been brought into a justified life. Having been justified, look at verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Are we there? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? Is it through this door or through this one you open? Through our Lord. Having been justified by your feelings. Having been justified by what you do, we have been going by our feelings, what we do, that's why. So if I look at brother, the way brother is doing things, I don't like this. It's war between me and him. Amen. But having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, not through Adam. Amen. It is the through that is where the power is. We don't know the through. Ever say, I'm justified by faith, but through who? You can have the knowledge but not have the experience. But until you go to the Lord Jesus himself, they sat the scriptures and they think in that they have life. It is just that, but you have, though you know the scripture, but you have not come to me. You might know the scripture, but everything will manifest through me, Jesus Christ. That's why Bible says, in Christ you are blessed. In Christ you are in the heavenly places. In Christ everything. In Christ everything. In Christ, through Christ, by him. That's why Bible says, for him, in him, and through him we have our being. You have nothing you can get from God except through his son. God has made it like that. Why? Because everything that happened to you as an unbeliever came through one man, Adam. Praise the Lord. I told some people on Tuesday where I went for fellowship, I said, do you know Adam exercises his power on earth by the name of Adam? I mean, Satan exercises his evil power on earth by the name of Adam. He goes in the name of Adam. I declare this over the nation for the rest of the years. You demons, I give you authority in the name of Adam who gave me this authority on earth that you should go now and do this. Do the havoc. This new year, I'm sending you principalities. I'm declaring you in the name of Adam who gave us this authority on earth. Go. Praise the Lord. That's why there was a need for another name greater than every other name. Because there must be a name of a man for things to happen on earth. Because God said on earth, it must be man. So that is why when Satan got the power from God, from Adam, if you notice, when Moses died and the angel of God came for the body of Moses, Michael was the one that cast Satan out when he fell. When they were in heaven, Michael and Satan were the same rank in heaven. They were both, they knew themselves. By the time Michael cast him out, many years after Moses died, Michael came with the confidence that, whoa, I'll deal with you again. When God said, go, I don't want Satan to have that body here because I need that body in 2,000 years from now because I'm going to need it for transfiguration. So it must not be corrupted. Get it. And when Satan came, Satan said, you can't take this body because it's mine. God has said sin is in the body and thus is mine. So Michael, you can't take it. If you dare try, we go for a fight. And Michael, when Michael said, I have come in the name of the Lord, who are you to say I can't get this body? I am taking this body, and if you refuse, remember I've dealt with you before, and if you want to try it, let's go for a fight.
As they wanted to fight, Satan just said, okay, let's see. Satan just said, in the name of Adam that gave me this authority on the earth, I stand against you, Michael. Michael went, oh my God, I have no power here. Why? Because he's an angel. Angel operates in the heaven. Their power is limited to the heaven. Adam was the one. Then Adam was the one who surrendered the power to Satan. So by legal right, by transfer from Adam to Satan, Satan was operating on the authority that belongs on earth legally, but illegally to him, but legally on earth. So when he did that to Michael, Michael knew he was in trouble. And the Lord had to give him revelation immediately that you cannot stand against him as you did in hell, because he has authority that I gave on earth, even though it's not his. So use the name that is above every authority, that is me, Lord. Tell, go against him in my name. And Michael then say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. And Satan went, oh my God. Hallelujah. Because the name of the Lord covers everywhere. That is the mystery behind that Jude. So when Jesus came and was man, his name was Jesus as man. So he had to leave that name under heaven so that we can give using that name. And he took that name above every other name. So even when Satan says in the name of Adam, let this happen in Clayton. When we say the name of Jesus, and that name Jesus operates by grace. The name Adam operates by law. By you, you are judge. And if you're going to succeed in the Adamic realm, you must be able to prove yourself right. But if you're going to survive in the Christ realm, you must depend on God's grace. I don't know if we are getting it. These are the things that Paul called the mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery deep in the heart of men that men don't know about. And people can be in the church and be walking by it and not know that they are offending God. I don't know. May the Lord give us understanding tonight. May the Lord give us understanding. Stand by grace and let's be gracious to one another, saints of God. I know it's a battle, but we need to cast down all these imaginations, all these arguments down. At the end of it, who are we? We have to ask, who are we? If Christ does not live in me, I'm nothing. It is only through the door of Christ by grace. We need to learn how to open this door. And the way it says it, walk through Jesus Christ. In other words, how Jesus is how you have to be to open the door. You get me? Jesus was sinless. You too should be sinless. That's why, but whoever is born of God does not sin. You are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus never approached the Father on his own merit. He approached the Father in the Father's name. Go and watch it. Go and look at it. Jesus said, the wicked one cometh and find nothing in me. Then why is he coming and find things in us? The reason why he can find things in us is because we are still Nigerian. We are still black. We are still white. We are still all these things that Paul said are condemned as rubbish. We won't put on the new man. It is not confess sin from here to till eternity. You'll still be seeing, feeling sin the next day. Have you never noticed? Hey, Christian, we are the only one that have some experience, and we don't ask questions to God. It takes hard to ask God. I say, Lord, this confession. I confess that I want to pray. I feel like confessing again. Now, have you forgiven or not? Praise the Lord. And I have to balance. It doesn't mean that we don't confess sins. Let me balance it. Confession of sins means the things you have done deliberately that you know yourself. It came to your consciousness that, I should not have done this. And your conscience bear witness that this is wrong. You confess it. And you confess that I have acted against my nature. Father, forgive me. But let me tell you, there are sins you have seen. You just sitting here, you have sinned that you don't even know about. If God was going to go by a sin, no one would enter heaven, including Paul. Somebody was leading prayer, I said, on Tuesday, said, men of God, let us be careful so we don't miss heaven. I said in my heart, I don't know who you can miss it, but me, I'm there. I don't know what you are going to do in hell. How can people be praying like that? My heart, I say, going to hell, what are you doing there? You have a brother there? Even if your brother is there, he went there, don't go and meet him there. It's not a good place. The fellowship we had with him on earth is enough. If he didn't receive Jesus now, bye-bye. Are you understanding me? All this healthy. So people serve God with the consciousness of God not going to hell, and it's rubbish. It is not his worship in spirit. If you believe that as a Christian you are born again and you can still miss heaven, let me tell you, though you might be doing works, but underneath, you are falling short in worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Because God can never have his free fellowship with you with a trace of little judgment in your heart. You will not be able to go to him with boldness. You will stand in the throne of grace and you'll be acting as if you are in the throne of judgment. Are you understanding me? And that's not what he made you to be. He made you to be a co-worker, a fellowship. You are supposed to sit with him in the heavenly parliament. Are you getting me? And say, according to the eternity, what you have discussed, Father, it is by prophetic time for us to do this. Amen. Amen. Like what we do in intercession, that's what you do. So according to the prophet, the way we see things happening, the hour has come by prophetic that this must happen on earth. So Father, we are here to dialogue and to say, Lord, what are you doing? What is the matter concerning this? And God said, you are right, my children. That is what I want to do. Allow me to, my God. The more I say, the more I feel like interceding every minute. What a privilege, what a honor, my God, to be in a place like that with God. But condemned people can't do it. Condemned people are interceding, but not the true intercession. That's why some people can't pray in tongues for too long. Because they just feel like, I'm not getting there. I just feel I have to speak in my understanding because I need to say it properly. That's what the mind is saying, properly. Put it properly so that, you know, some people even believe if they're supposed to use words, they use is. God has not heard. So I need to reframe it very well. I've seen some people pray me and say, Pastor Dapo, well, I prayed for this. Is that the right way to pray for it? I said, what does your heart want? I said, you see, the moment your heart thinks about it, God has heard it. Your declaration is to affirm the earth to release it. Your confession comes out of what? Your confession of your mouth. But when you think it and say, I desire it in that, God hears. Praise the Lord. Can you see yourself like that? Jesus, that's how he saw himself. Father, I thank you that you have heard me when he hasn't prayed, but in his mind. And then Bible says he groaned. I said, Lazarus, out! He groaned in the spirit. Amen. That's why when you have Christ, you'll be experiencing some you go to prayer, sometimes you'll be going and groaning because that's how he prayed. So much that the sweat on his face was like blood. And the disciples said, every time this man prays like this, he gets results. Teach us how to pray like this. And just say, you can't pray until the Spirit comes. And he will give you the utterance. Jesus. 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 God. God, 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 God. We bind condemnation. We bind you judgment. You are foreigner to our kingdom. We are justified. We are complete and justified. Even in our low states, God still says, come and let's reason together. Let's reason together. Let us talk about what is keeping you away. Even if you feel so worse, God is still saying, he's still come, don't go away. Come and reason with me. And then you will see that I am not who you are taking me. You are taking me like men who are ready to slap you at everything you do. But by the time you reason with me, you find out that I long for your fellowship. To just be with you. Hallelujah. How are we hearing me? Oh, Jesus. One more tablet and then we'll pray. Romans 8 verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. And God is not asking for your suggestion here. God is telling you what he has done. Praise the Lord. God is telling you what he has done, not your opinion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Abby is the one who agreed with me here. She's the one that say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we in Romans 8 verse 9? How many people are receiving something here? After hearing this, you must not spend a day without praying to God. Anything keeping you from prayer, you must fight it.
You now know the root of it. It is not you that is prayerless. Something is in your body warring against that inward man that wants to do the will of God. So you stand against it. Are we there? Let's read that 1, 2, 3, Romans 8, 9. 1, 2, 3.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
Yes.
If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ,
yes,
he is none of his.
God is telling you where you are. You are not in the world, but in the world. Are we not trying to get into the spirit? You get into the spirit. We are not into the spirit. The spirit has all come. Let's get into the spirit. Let's get into the spirit. Let's get into the spirit. Hallelujah. My brothers from Nigeria are experts in that. Hey, the heavens have not opened. Let's pray that the rain the heavens. Let's get the spirit. Yeah, spirit. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But God said you are in the spirit. All those times, what has happened? A waste of energy, waste of time. Yeah. The moment you say, in the name of Jesus, instantly, we are in the spirit. Well, let's get to the spirit. Brother, the way I see you, you have not entered. Come on, come on. Don't go there. It's all a knowledge that somebody saw it, and it was somebody doing it, passed down to somebody doing it. We never take time to look at the Bible and say, look, all that we are just shaking our head for. Do you know, it's amazing how a million people can be fools. I don't know it. One person can fool everybody. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. It's good to laugh, but we are, at least we are catching it. If you have any doubt, raise it up. Father, you can never lie. Since the spirit of Christ is in me, I am in the spirit. So I thank you, Lord, that you are with me here. So, Father, I just thank you and I worship you. And I'm going through some financial challenges. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command it to change because you have met my needs. In Jesus' name, amen. And then your friend said, it's not good enough. Press more. Repeat more. Go on. That is not enough. Do you mean that just 3 minutes is enough? No. You have to. And you go, Father, Father, Mom, Father. You know what? You know what that does? It discourages us from praying. So when people remember prayer, they remember, I have to do this again. I have to do that. Okay, I'll pray tomorrow. Can you see how that nature is keeping us? Can you see that it's deadly? It keeps you. Everybody say the simplicity of Christ. Lord Jesus, this simplicity of Christ, give unto us in Jesus' name. Let us live